Page 187. Hakol bidei shamayim. Everything is done by heaven. Kol ha'asiyah shel ha'adam yatfila. All the doing of a man in the world is prayer. Ki kol ha'asiyah yirak b'yad Hashem. All the action is in Hashem's hand. He's called ribon kol ha'asim. We say in davening every day, master of all actions of the world. He's the master. He's ribon. Shpirusho, which means Hashem hu asa, oseh ve'yaseh. את כל המעשים ואין עוד מלבדו כלל וכלל. Hashem has done, is doing and will do all the actions in the world, and there's nothing else besides him. It's only him. רק על ידי תפילה האדם יכול להוציא את רצונותיו מהכוח ולפעל. Only through prayer a man could express his wills, his desires from potential to action. ולעשות מעשים טובים, to do good actions, to do good deeds. רק כאשר השם נותן לאדם את החוכמה, הבינה והדעת, only when Hashem gives a person the wisdom, the bina, bina is deeper wisdom, right? Dat, intelligence, and the right advice, and the power, and the siyata dishmaya, and all the circumstances, and all the situation that he'll be able to do something, only then a person does. Because of course before that, a lot of obstacles, a lot of things to prevent him from doing the good things. There's a lot of things to bother a person from anything of dusha when he has to do something. From himself, first of all. Right? A lot of times a person's lazy, he's heavy, doesn't want to do. And also his relatives to prevent him, his wife, his children, his parents prevent him from doing things. And also sometimes the circumstance is not appropriate now to do certain things. He wants to give a lot of money to tzedakah, but he doesn't have a lot of money, so he can't. Right? He wants to do this, but he can't. He doesn't have the situation to do. He's in jail now, he can't go to Uman. No? Al kol ele, so for all the situation, whatever the obstacle is, yisa tfilato lebura olam yomo. Whatever the obstacle is, a person should raise his prayer to Hashem and say, Ribono Shalom, Master of the World, Retzoni la'asot Retzonech, my will is to do your will. V'yesh li yetzer hara shemitgaber alai, and I have a yetzer hara that overcomes me, stronger than me. V'yesh li miniyot ha'moach, and I have obstacles from my brain. Shani lo ma'amin shani mesuga, I don't believe that I'm able to do something. V'chaser li ratzon chazak atakif, and I'm lacking strong and thorough will. Or the person says, I have obstacles preventing me from my relatives or my health situation. Please help me overcome the Yetzirah. Give me the wisdom, give me the will, give me the desire, give me the enthusiasm, give me everything to do your will. And prevent and nullify from me all the preventers, all the obstacles that are stopping me from doing your will. And help and change them to be my helpers. You can change them. My relatives, they go against, they can be my helpers. They can be my. You can help me. For example, here, of course, it's a famous example. A person wants to go to Uman. Why does he say this? Because Albeinu brings down the obstacle. He brings down one of his obstacles. For example, a person wants to go to the tzaddik. That's all Benu says. That's what he brings down to Maran. He wants to go to the Tzaddik, right? You want to go to the Tzaddik? Of course. But there's all kinds of obstacles. First of all, he needs the right circumstance. For example, he needs money for the ticket. First of all, he needs a passport. If he doesn't have a passport, he can't go. He needs permission to leave the country. If he has debts and stuff, he can't leave the country. Or if he's on the army, all kinds of problems, then he can't leave the country. Right? So many, yeah? And there's many, many stories that Rav Arush says, I heard in my own ears and I saw in my own eyes of people that didn't have any money for the ticket and didn't have a passport. They didn't have their own passport. It's confiscated by the state. They didn't have permission to leave the country, nothing. And all kinds of other obstacles, spiritual obstacles, mental obstacles, physical obstacles, financial obstacles, technical obstacles, all kinds of things. and they stood and prayed. And they did the famous gula of 6 hours in Bodut on one thing. And they got to Uman. They got to Uman without anything. I met people like that also. Besides me.
I met people on the street saying, please give me money, I want to go to Uman.
Also that like that. I remember 1 year, and I'll tell you a story about myself. 1 year, like maybe 6 years ago, I didn't have a penny to my name. I'm telling you, I'm not exaggerating. I had to pay the rent and buy a ticket. Those days, the tickets were $1,000, and the dollar wasn't 3.4. The dollar was a bit higher, around 5 shekels, almost 4.8 or something. A lot of money. And I needed to pay the rent and bills, and I had to leave my wife some money for the chag, many things. And I didn't have anything, and I used to write the mezuzahs. And I had a bunch of mezuzahs sitting in my house, and I couldn't sell them. I went to the field. That was the first time I did 6 hours. But I didn't daven for money at all. I only daven, Hashem gave me my head, to trust Hashem. Hashem's taking care of me. Just trust. I prayed just for trust. Bitochon, that was 6 hours. The way Rav Aruch teaches and the way Hashem gave me in my head at that time. And so, yep, I finished 6 hours. Next day, the Rav's son, Nachman Arush, that's exactly when they bought the other building that we have where the internet is, downstairs. They bought them there. They bought it then, and they needed 10 new mezuzahs for the building. Fine. So I said, fine. How much? 180 shekels. How much is it? 10 mezuzahs? 1800. Already? Good. We have more than half a ticket in my hand. About half a ticket in my hand. Good. That's already good. First of all, to close down, I am buying a ticket. And something else. I don't remember. Someone came over. Then I get over to the rabbi. I said, no idea. Anyways, watch all kinds of miracles I had that year. It was right before Hashem. And I paid everything. I paid the rent, and I paid and I went to Uman. So much miracles. I had to believe in the prayer, Mamash. Believe that Hashem listens to Hashem. It's not just stories. This is a reality that happens to everybody. I remember I saw a guy. I saw him in Uman. I said, how did he get here? He was divorced. And his wife, she told him he's not paying or something. Anyway, he couldn't leave the country to go to Uman. No way. How did he get here? He said, it's all Rav Aruch. He said, Rav Aruch, it's all the Rav. I said, what are you doing? And he told me the story. I don't want to say it in public. Anyways, he got to Uman also. There's a guy who for years he can't leave the country because of debts. And every year he goes to Uman. I thought he's running away. He's coming back. Doesn't have money to pay the rent, the debt. Because once you get the visa, the spiritual visa, you're through.
I mean, can you imagine what's going to happen now with what's happening in the news?
No, there's no problem. Hopefully the prices will go lower. That's what will happen now. Right now, you can go now to Ukraine this week if you want $200. $190. Wanna go? 600 shekels. There's nothing going on there, I'm telling you. It's all happening there in that island, half an island or whatever it's called.
Crimea and the eastern part of Ukraine.
And you go to Kiev or to Odessa, you drive straight to Uman, nothing going on. It's very quiet. People are just there though.
So the news is pure nonsense, I
know. Don't walk around alone in the street over there now. It's not safe. If you come, you take a taxi straight to the... They did try to murder... they started to assassinate the head of the mayor of Kharkov. He's Jewish. Kharkov is a big city there. A lot of Jews also there.
In Ukraine?
Yeah.
Is he still alive?
I don't know. He was injured, right?
He got stabbed in the back several times.
Shot him in the back.
Shot in the back. No, I think he's alive.
He was
alive. Yeah, I think he was killed.
They did firebombing shuls.
Okay. No man, the tzaddik is there. I don't know. It's not the state. It's the people there. They hate Jews, as known as the famous.
Is that close to Ramon on that app? Well, the same people that do that to the mayor of that city, are those the same people we come in contact with in Ramon? Same mentality, same outlook on life, same.
I tell you what, in Uman, they make a lot of money off the Jews. Everyone there makes a lot of money off the Jews. I think they have interest not to destroy the situation. The what?
Their economy. They don't want to destroy the economy.
Yeah, exactly. They make a lot of money off the Jews. You move in Uman, you have to pay. You want to change something, you pay. Everything is paid there. Everything is money there. And the Jews pay. I don't think they want to destroy their economy. They live off the... They got rich from it. For them, $200? You know how much money that is? They live a whole month off $200. They rent out their whole house. Make 40 beds in the house, they put. Not exaggerating. Take from each one only $200. They're rich. They're rich. Rich. Not exaggerating.
But the bathroom's so good.
You've been there?
No. People tell.
You're welcome. Problem is that a person doesn't believe that everything depends on prayer. Therefore, he breaks himself and the fact that he's not doing what Hashem wants. Not doing what Hashem wants. Hashem just wants you to pray. The action has nothing to do with us. Right? He falls in his spirit, he blames himself, his his self-esteem goes low. His believing in himself goes low. That's what the Yetzer Hara does to a person. And then from that place to become a Rasha, evil man, is very easy. Okay? That's all. Oh, it's what Rabbeinu writes in Torah 72. And sometimes a person, sometimes the Yetzer Hara, one of his ways to make a person into a Rasha is to push him to be a tzaddik. Be a tzaddik. Be, do this, do it. And that's the Yetzer Hara telling him to do that. And the person has to grow slowly. Step by step. Not to grow fast. If you grow too fast, you'll fall apart completely. Laugh, laugh. And every time you fall, fine. So what? I still continue to do my work. Rabbeinu says, the person falls, has to be in the aspect of loich patle. I don't care. That's how I fell, so what? What's going to do with the next step? If a person lives like that, he'll just grow. The fall is not a fall. It's just fall. I can still daven now, right? I can still put on tefillin now. I can still go learn more. What's going to do with what happened before? So I didn't learn the whole morning, so what? I mean, I can't continue, should not learn the whole day. That's the other 1,000%. Anyways, didn't learn, don't forget it. Is that true?
What about trying to understand the message?
Fine. From out of happiness. But not to be sad because of it, not to fall because of it. Oh, I'm so bad. To blame yourself. I'm so. That's wrong. Not to blame yourself.
So when you express the holy will and then take out what you did wrong when you're out in the field.
Right, to see Hashem, show me how should I do it better next time.
Okay.
Yeah. Pray for it. But not to be depressed because of it and then not do anything because of that. If you take it to the field, to the prayer, beautiful. That's what you have to do.
Beautiful. I guess the other thing is the answer is try to push it to the far right and the far left on things. You know, whatever particular mitzvah is, and you hear that mitzvah is important, or
you want to do it,
and you know what you want to do, you're gonna try to push to the extreme. Do it
right.
5 days a week. Do it for 4 hours, and try to get you to do that one.
Right, like, and then
every mitzvah, so sequentially, you're able to try to get. The mitzvah, because you go down, there's the optimal time to do this, and the optimal
right.
time to do that, and the optimal time to do this, and to do this all, and all of a sudden you try to put that into a schedule, and it's just
No, the person will collapse.
Yes.
Yeah. And then he goes to the field, and he says, why did I collapse? Oh, the Yetzer is working here with me. He comes to shul with us. He comes to the shiva with us. He goes to the field with us. Yeah.
Shabbos Terry.
Shabbos, he works on Shabbos. He works on Shabbos. He doesn't take off. Even after a person dies, he's there. Only once they bury him and put the rebels of dirt over him, then he calms down. He's dead for sure? You sure he's dead? He's coming? Want to hear a spooky story?
Yes.
Ooh. This reminds me of a story. True story. I don't know what happened. I think it happened 300 years ago. In Lublin. In Poland. Big Jewish community there. There was a... What time is it? Fine. I'll tell you the story. 189. Fine. We're up to 189. True story. It's written in the books of the history of Lublin. The Jewish history. There was a carpenter and a butcher that lived in a little town near Lublin. And one of them had a boy, the other one had a girl. And they were very special people. They liked each other. And they decided that when the time comes, well, they made, in those days, when they were a few years old, they made the ksuba, not the ksuba, the time, the agreement that they're going to marry. And when the time comes, they get married. Fine. And he learned in the yeshiva, the boy. And the girl that was at home helping the mother, like it used to be in those days. And they were both the same age. And they were one was 17, the boy was 17, and the girl was 16. They decided to get married. The parents decided they'll get married. And they got married. And they loved each other, and they lived very nicely. And then they decided, let's go to Lublin. The boy said, I want to go, the man, I want to go to Lublin. I want to learn in the yeshiva there, the big yeshiva. I want to learn. So she agreed, whatever, you want my husband, of course, I want you to learn Torah. And they went to live in Lublin. And she worked as a... used to wash the clothing. The woman washed the clothing. And she worked very hard, and the rich people of the houses, and she washed clothing, so he could sit and learn. 2 years passed, and she didn't have any children, and she realized, you know, all my friends here around, you know, all walking around with strollers, or whatever they had then, babies, and I don't have any children, what's going on? She didn't say anything. Yeah, 18 years old, so far, so maybe. Another 2 years passed, she was 20 already. She still didn't have children. She told her husband one day, no, we don't have children. You realize that's what's going on. Well, so her husband said, yeah, you're right. I don't know. We have to pray. Those days, it wasn't like today. There's a lot of things to check first before you start getting nervous. Yeah, check the ovulation. Check the 10 years passed and didn't have any children. And then she became very ill. She was 26 years old, deadly ill. And her husband was helping her and everything. And before she was dying. Before she died, she called her husband and said, yeah, what can I help you? She said, you know, I'm going to die. What's going to be left of me? Nothing. You're going to marry someone. You're going to have your own children. And I'll be forgetting of the face of the earth. I won't be here anymore. She said, yeah, wow. No, I promise you, I'm not going to marry anyone. That's what he told her. That's what she wanted to hear. No, I want you to swear, she said. So he takes something, a book or something, he said, I swear on this book, when he takes something in your hands, it makes it stronger. I swear on this book, I'm not going to marry any woman after you die. Fine. And a few minutes later, she died. And he was crying, and the Levaya, and the Shiva, and the friends were taking care of him, making him food. After the Shiva, he goes back to the yeshiva to sit and learn. A few months pass, and the friend Sia, he's not asking for looking for a shidduch for him. You know, he's a widow. Why go? Maybe he should get married. A widower? Widower, right? Well, maybe he should get married. They asked him, and they saw that he gets very sad and said, so they asked him, what's the story? He said, listen, I swore to my wife before she died I won't marry any other woman. I said, what? So let's ask the Rav what to do. They went to the Rav, forgot his name. Went to the Rav, he says, what? It's nullified. He says, why? Because it's written in the Torah you have to have children. A boy and a girl. Yeah? If you don't have a boy or girl, you're not Yotze Pruvu. So you can't swear against the Torah. The Torah tells you that you have to have children. You can't swear. You just swear that he's going to eat pig. He takes the Torah, yeah, he swears I'm going to eat pig. He has to eat pig? I swore? No, of course not. Right? You can't swear against the Torah. The Torah tells you you have to have children. You can't swear you cannot have, you won't have children. You can't. You have to get married. So, really? Yeah? Oh, Hashem. Fine, I'll speak to the Shatra. He spoke to the old rabbi, who was a Shatra. Yeah, they found a few days later, they found a good Shidduch. Is there a divorcee with two children, and she was willing to marry him. And he met her, and he was willing to marry her. Fine, they got engaged. A few days later, his wife, I guess, called him from above. And he died. This young boy, 20, 27 years old, he died. Obviously.
Your son.
What?
Your son?
No, no, the boy, the man. The husband.
The husband who made the pledge to his wife? Did he die now?
Yeah.
So they're both dead?
Yeah.
Okay.
He died. I assume, and the story was, they assumed that the wife from the time, he swore that he's going to come. That he's not going to marry. Now he's getting married. No, I want him with me. And for Shammai, they took him back.
Wow.
They come and told the Rav the story. This is a crazy end. You won't believe it. They told the Rav the story. It's only 300 years ago, I think about. Told the story to the Rav. He says, really, I want to be at the Leviathan. Right, tell me when the burial is. Finally called the Rav. He never went to any burial. This time he went. He came and he wrote on a little note that he made the psak that he can marry another woman, and that the shvuah is the vow is nullified. And therefore I'm asking from Shamayim to send him back. And he put the notice in the dead person's hand, closed his fist, and bury him. They buried him. In the middle of the night, there's a dead man walking in the streets. The guy woke up from his grave. True story. He woke up from his grave, and everyone was scared. They ran away to their home. And he went straight to the Rav's house. And the Rav wasn't scared, of course. He said, the Rav, they sent me back. They said, they agreed to you, and they have to live. Fine. He says, yeah, but the Rav told him, you can't walk around with the white cloth over there. To get dressed, to go to your house and get dressed. Fine. Now everyone was shocked and the whole city was talking. And now no one wants to marry him, wants to marry a dead man. So he was sitting in yeshiva learning, he couldn't get married. So he came a few months later to the Rav. Rav, what's going to be? No one wants to marry me. The Rav said, don't worry, we'll take care of that right now. And he called, it was a big mekubo. He called the angel of forgetfulness. He called him. Said, I make a decree that you'll make the whole city forget the story that he was a dead man. And he did it, and everyone forgot that he was a dead man. For years, he didn't remember, and he was able to get married, and he had children. And how was the story, after all, at the end of his life, when it was an old man, people started to remember the story that happened. I guess the forgetting was for a certain amount of time. And they wrote it up, the whole story. Anyways, here you got a story. Good story, huh?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Now we do a little bit of...